The nightmares had come thick and fast during the previous weeks for my family, though I appear to have been spared or unable to remember at least. Our youngest silhouetted in the doorway, night after night, our daughter asleep on a mattress on the floor of our bedroom, my wife restlessly turning from side to side, folding herself deeper into that cleft between worlds. Isn't birth a break from the reality of dreams and a wrenching into the bloodless sky of forgetting? And are we not reborn daily into this stateless journey? Morning at the breakfast table, we would sit, discharging the strangeness onto each other. Well, I would listen, my mind unburdened with the substance of dreaming, and yet burdening itself with detail all the same. Synthesizing, absorbing, such is the heedful remit of the mother's ear, and into it would pass. Sinister animated plush dolphins turning on my children, a lady lying on the rail tracks, neatly sliced in half by a train, ominous shadows on the horizon enlarging as they came closer, giants traversing the borders of their realm. These moments of sharing, so precious to me as their days are of uncertain number. But had I really buried these dream stones in the surface soil for my family to find? Blue cheese before bed, capsules of Penicillium candidum with warm milk, sprouting wheels of camembert in the air vents to send out their spores at night. The creeping vines of wayward dreams tie us ever tighter together. And if a bad dream is what it takes to bind them closer to me, I will take the consequences. There is nothing like fear to take us back to first principles. Morning of the storm, I found these notes from myself, hurriedly scrawled on the back of the universal credit reminder from the previous week. Charlie dreamt about the lady again, the tweed-sleeved arm outstretched and spraying three-foot letters onto the leisure center wall. Shoot location, colon, here, all caps and twice underlined. Then an arrow with crude drop shadow pointing down at the group of sedated dogs sleeping on an MDF sheet at the base of the wall. Pomeranians, Bichon Frise, short-haired pointers, Newfoundlands, Tibetan Mastiffs, Belgian Shepherds, Groenendaels, Fairy Spaniels, Sussex Field and Clumber, a Chinese crested in a knitted trim coat matching that of the spraying woman. When people pass, she shouts at them, "I'm the one with the sign and the dogs in the event. The event." The red flag woman, fishing for attention enough to feed the trap laid beyond her, ensnaring anyone who turns to look. Once distracted by the sleeping dogs, they're lassoed and tethered to the rest of the gamers for the shoot. For the game is separated along traditional lines that a certain class insist on continuing to peg their dirty laundry to. Together, they strain against the leashes as she directs them towards the manor house.
"They called Spinoza the Prince of the Mist,"
she shouts toward her tethered throng of humans and canines as her spat pith rolls as echoes through the woods.
"But he's got nothing on me."
One man turns to his chained partner, both stifled by mud between their fingers and toes, which flit into a blur in an attempt to shake off the muck. A whisper begins between them. the note-taking ended. Incredible recall. After this, I'd written, "The giant is a relative incorporation, bearing up against the size of one's own being. This weather contains towering beings, assuming the form of those that do their imaginings, and, in their destruction, their manifestation and actions are more than the destruction they cause." Taking the kids to the day shelter in Scrupton Folly that morning, we passed over swollen rivers, engorged bridges appearing to float between banks, all soon to be consumed. I saw we would inhabit an island within an island within an island, swathes of farmland, houses, industrial estates turned to archipelagos, reachable only by boat or raft, or inflatable mermaids, donut rings, or dolphins. We had a long day ahead of us, sacking the graves still accessible on higher ground for signs. With shovels firmly gripped, we groped around the cemetery walls and dug with a frenzy exacerbated by hunger, driving our spades into the densely packed ground. There was an eerie ringing of mispitched shovels in the dust-filled air. Some of the onlookers covered their ears with their mittens, others their eyes as the shovels glittered like paparazzi at feeding time, snapshots to drive by the magnifying glass of memory later. We worked in shifts until the ivory white of old bones broke through the dirt with an unsettling smile. We glanced at each other, not daring to hope that these could be the bones we had been seeking, never quite believing that after such protracted ages of science and progress, myth could have launched such a savage coup. Of all the ways through the crowded corridors of time, this way was the worst. Antimatter, anti-fact, we'd on the holes in our metaphysical socks with the yarn of ignorance and wonder why our toes are never warm. Once the bones have been ground to a microscopic dust and mixed with dung to be spread on the crops, or baked into bricks and stacked into houses, and our pensive weight has expired, when the crops have yet again not flourished, and the buildings yet again not withstood the fallout of a Titan's approach, then we will return to sifting through the skeletal remains of our forebears as doctrine commends. Even though our living flesh withers and our teeth rot and our roots are rechanneled into the quagmire of unknowing and our blisters of intellect are daily lanced to the applause of the new believers, darkness, now arrived and here for the long haul, will weave its long shadow into our DNA.